out in September 2022 on all streaming platforms. We'll be playing a bunch of songs from tonight. So I'm thrilled to have Lily on the show tonight. And so I just want to say welcome to the show, Lily, and it's great to have you here.
Thanks, Mary.
Awesome. So we're going to play songs from Decompression all night. And let's start off the show with track number one. It's called Never Looking Back, and then we'll come back and we'll chat.
Okay, sounds good.
Once they had golden love, it shone in all its glory, and it rose up from between. It climbed up tall for all to see. The life storms turned waters wild, shook their lost ability. Where there was kindness, they grew mean and cold. Waters rose and drowned the gold. Everything that was white turned to black. Everything that was joy shifted into sad. I'm looking forward, I'm never looking back. Never turning back, never going back. The troubles froze into the ice and spread across the ocean. And the gold sank beneath the sea. No one had the strength to find it. Don't you be sad for me. It's just a chapter in my story. In a warm rainfalls on humble banks, time will melt the ice and cracks. Everything that was white turned to black. Everything that was joy shifted into sad. I'm looking forward, I'm never looking back. Never turning back, never going back. Everything that was white turned to black. Everything that was joy shifted into sad. I'm looking forward, I'm never looking back. Never turning back, never going back.
That was Never Looking Back by Canadian singer and songwriter Lily Frost. And if you'd like to check out her music, you can find her at lilyfrost.com. And she's also on Instagram at instagram.com/lilyfrostcom, C-O-M. And so, Lily, it's great to have you on the show tonight. I've been really digging deep into your wonderful album. And so I guess the first question I have for you is I know that the song we just heard, so that was yourself singing. You had the lovely Nicole Robertson on banjo and mandolin. Mm-hmm. And this album itself was produced by a mutual friend of ours, Aaron Goldstein, at Gold Standard Records. And so I guess my question, first question for you is, when you went to go work with Aaron, did you have all of these songs together? That there's I think about 12 or 13 songs on the album. Were they all kind of pre-decided on and then you went to him to record, or did you go through songs and kind of narrow them down to this for the album, or what was that process like?
I definitely went through a whole bunch of demos and songs and narrowed it down. I went back as far as 2015 to old demos. Like Never Looking Back is actually from 2015. So through all my archives to find the songs that really shone the brightest and that Aaron responded to when I played them for him. And so it's really good to have someone to bounce ideas off of like that. And he was very honest, and we did work the songs a tiny bit, like he, you know, added a chord to one of the songs, but generally speaking, they were done and, or I finished them up myself for the recording. And, we worked really strong. Like I told him that I wanted to produce my own record at this point. And he said, that's great, but I work as a producer. And I said, okay, well, as long as I can sort of express all my ideas and have them taken into consideration,
right,
that I'm okay with that process. And he said, that's fine. And then halfway through, he said, you know, you're a good producer. And it, he basically did the beds and some of the overdubs. And then I took it from there. So I finished the production of it. Yeah. With Jason Ball and with Nicole Robertson and some other people, and then mixed it with a couple of other guys altogether. So yeah, it was like, but he definitely got me going.
Right.
And got the tracks and the vibe and everything going.
And so you've got just a wonderful list of Canadian musicians who played on your album Decompression. And so I'll list a couple of them. You know, we've got Anna Reddick, the wonderful bass player, Darcy Yates, Danny Nash, known for playing with everyone from July Talk. You know, Nick McKinley, Tom Hammerstein, just a wonderful, Brandon Baird, Carly Akins. And so did they come together? So I noticed that some of them were on, you know, multiple tracks. Did you have different sessions set up where you had groups of people in?
Yeah. Yeah. So as you just named off some people, and then for the listeners, you know, there were two drummers that you just named and two bassists. So I basically had two separate rhythm sections, and we divided the album in half. So, you know, the ones that lent themselves to more of a laid back kind of piano feeling tone, those were played by Anna Ruddick and Danny Nash. And the ones that were a little bit more driving and alternative sounding were Darcy Yates and Nick McKinley.
Oh, that's so interesting.
Yeah. And we just played everything live with everybody a whole bunch of times until we felt comfortable. And then we just pressed record.
Really?
That's
really cool.
Yeah, it was a cool thing. It's cool to do it live.
And so maybe let's listen to your latest single now from your album. To listeners, we've got Lily Frost on Dangerfield Tonight on Indie 101.5. Let's listen to a wonderful song called Drive All Night, and then we'll come back and we'll chat a bit.
Sure, sounds good.
You're out there in the country, working on a farm. It's been a long time since I lay in your arms. You're not shiny, you are. You only knew how you make me feel. Oh, I would drive all night just to be with you. If you meet me by the doorstep, it doesn't matter if you've fallen yet. I must be crazy, but I'm ready to drive all night. I try to cut you loose.
That was Drive All Night, and it's track 6 on the album Decompression. And my guest tonight on Dangerfield on Indie 101.5 is Lily Frost. And we're playing songs off her wonderful new album. It's out on all streaming platforms right now. And if you want to check her out, you can find her at lilyfrost.com. So, yeah, that was a real standout for me, Lily, this song Drive All Night. I just, you know, I'm always fascinated by, you know, the order of songs and even just mm-hmm. the fact of like, and maybe I'll just ask you that. So how did you, so you mentioned that you pulled from, you know, different years for this album. How did you come up with the order finally for it?
Yeah, that's a good question. Basically I just connected things sonically in a way. So like, and I went along with my gut feeling, like if I was like bored, then I would add a song like Seagull, which is really driving and kind of more alternative. And then if it was too overwhelming emotionally, I would go, okay, let's take a palate cleanser moment here and do this really simple folky song called Skyline, you know. Mm-hmm. But Skyline had a high pitched vocal, so then I went from Skyline into Where the Light Shines In, which is also high pitched. So I felt like the connections worked that way, as opposed to going, oh, this is a country song and this is a thing song, you know, like instead of looking at it in terms of genre, it was more like which tones can match and when do we need a break.
Oh, that's interesting, you know? I've never heard that approach before. I really like that. That's awesome. Thanks. And cool. So you actually, so you put this song came out the day of your album release, which was in September 22 this year. And you also accompanied it with a really awesome like video. And for those who want to check out Lily's YouTube channel, it's youtube.com/LilyFrost official. And so take us through this video. It was directed and animated by Gregory Pepper. What was that like creative process like for you creating this video?
Yeah, so I discovered him through Bobby Dove, and he had done a really cute video for her, kind of retro animation, simple, but current and edgy at the same time, like a little bit more, it's darker than what you would find in the 60s or something, but it had that kind of country rockabilly tattoo vibe.
Right.
So he and I discussed things. I've never met him. We just talked on the phone, and he's so smart, and he really seemed to understand the way I was describing things. And I loved his process because he was very communicative, and he shared as he went along. He'd go, what do you think of this? Here's what I'm planning. And I could say, you know, I love it, but I need a little bit more edge. And he's like, no problem. Let's go there, you know?
So,
yeah. So I really, he's such a fresh person. Like his energy's so positive and open-minded. And I just like his work a lot. You know, it's very simple. It's kind of like a lyric video. I like how it does represent the story of the song, you know? And then also the pain of it, because the pain, it's Drive All Night. Like I will go all this way for this person, whether or not they actually love me. It's just a booty call. Basically worth it to me, you know?
I love that.
But it's semi-heartbreaking at the same time, right? Yeah.
And so kind of on the theme of videos then, and so I read that you so there's another wonderful song off your album called Open Highway that I hear that you're in the process of editing now. And you filmed that over in Italy, was it recently?
Yeah, so generously Factor supported that, the making of that video. I went over with two people, a director and DOP. And we basically, I was actually there for a wedding in Tuscany. And I thought, if I'm going to be there, I have to do something artistic while I'm there, you know? So, yes, we stayed in the Amalfi Coast, which is a place that I've always wanted to go, like my entire life. Not my entire life, but since I started visualizing the ideal dream place, you know? Just the balcony and the espresso and looking over the ocean. And the cliffs, the kind of red sand, which actually isn't red sand, but I thought it would be in my vision. But the twinkly lights and the side of the cliffy mountains and all of that epicness, we really pulled it off. You know, like we the team is very, we've worked together before, and I just love how much pre-planning we do and how we really discuss concept in advance. So this one's like a, where fantasy and reality blur and the idea of escapism. So, but if you like, can you ever really escape, you know, like that's right. The other thing. And running away does seem satisfying. And can you just do it in your mind, or do you physically have to do it? And if you physically do, are you still trapped in your mind? So it's kind of playing with that, all that stuff.
Well, let's listen to this song then that we're referring to. So the song is called Open Highway. And tonight my guest on Dangerfield is Lily Frost. And this is track 2 off her latest album called Decompression. And so let's listen to that and we'll come back and we'll chat.
Anywhere else but here. Take me to that long open highway. I wish I could be everywhere, but I'm just a particle in this vast cosmic ocean. Missing love terribly, I fear, but is it worth the pain for what they say is gain? We are just scattered around, grasping for connection. Scattered around, grasping for survival. Traveling in my mind, sailing to a tropical desert island. You're just a particle in this vast cosmic ocean. It's such a struggle to be here, and though the moments pass, they are but all we have. We are just scattered around, grasping for connection. Scattered around. Connect.
That was Open Highway by Lily Frost. She's joining me tonight on my show, Dangerfield. And if you'd like to check out her music, you can find her on all the streaming platforms. And lilyfrost.com is her website. And her Instagram is instagram.com/lilyfrostcom. Before the break, we were talking about how you had just been over in Italy filming the video for this. And I've read that, you know, you're greatly inspired by foreign films, and a lot of your songs have made their way into movies or TV shows. You know, you've been on huge, massive shows like Grey's Anatomy. You've been in movies, like a Disney movie called Crazy Beautiful. You wrote a theme song for, and were Gemini nominated for Being Erica, a Canadian television show. You've been in commercials and everything. So I think my question to you is, how do your songs like make it into these places? So is it sometimes are you, you know, submitting them based on a creative brief? Are they, you know, recruited by people who put them in shows? And then, yeah.
Well, the Crazy Beautiful one was recruited by Network Records, and they have an office in Los Angeles. So they submitted the single for that movie. And it just, I had no idea that that was happening behind my back. You know, it was just, yeah. And so the co-writer and myself were just thrilled because that was a big paycheck. And like after, you know, living off welfare and food banks and like, you know, starving for years for our art, all of a sudden that came through and we were just like, we probably spent it all in the first like months, you know, we're just like, money. So then I moved to Toronto and signed to Aporia Records, which is a label that isn't really a label in my experience. Like they're more of a, they're a label because they would pay to make the records, but then their focus was in syncing the songs in television or film. So that was their focus. And there was a guy who worked there called Chris Budd, who's
Chris Budd. Yeah.
Isn't he just the sweetest guy?
Yes, I'm good friends with his older brother, Mike. And so I used to call them the baby bud. So I actually remember him working with Aporia. I think it was like someone I knew, his cousin owned it or something. I can't remember. It was my friend.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, my friend, but I think it was Ben Smith's cousin owned it.
Interesting.
Remember his name?
Gord Dimitriev. So Chris was a sweetheart and he just worked his way up, you know, like the first thing he offered me was for like $50, and by the end he was getting some really good paying offers, and that was just our focus. And like I worked with Jose Contreras, he was we were married for like 12 years, and we wrote together, he produced my records, and we were never trying to write for TV. Like it was never like, hey, we're looking for this kind of a song, can you write it? We would just write a whole bunch of songs and then they would be pitched. So the one time I did actually have to write specifically for a show was the Being Erica one, where they told me, no, it's too poetic. We need it to be more literal. And in the end, I don't really feel proud of that song because it was a compromised vision, but I'm grateful for the work. But like songwriting isn't about that for me, you know?
And that must be interesting too, with when your music ends up in movies and stuff like that, like just the longevity of it. So like people are always going to be renting those movies. And so that's kind of this like other avenue for people. So do you hear back from people who find your music through those different routes?
There are some people who were really expressive about some of the earlier stuff, like Who Am I, the one that was in Crazy Beautiful. People heard it on Stargate, I think, and Da Vinci, what's that one? Maybe. Or Degrassi, those kinds of things.
That's a bit of a difference.
It's just like, I know. I think it was both, actually. But I was totally like clueless. Like I've lived with my head just down in ever since I went to Montreal and started studying and being a musician. Like I just don't really pay attention to all that stuff. So it's probably part of the reason why stuff never really took off. Like I've had times where I feel like my band or my thing is working and rolling, mm-hmm. but it's always when I just am playing live all the time, which right. I haven't done for a long time. Yeah.
Let's play another song off your latest album. Let's play the song Wild again, and then we'll come back and we'll chat a little bit more about playing live.
Sure.
What do you do when the waters rise? Do you dive in deep? Do you run and hide? What do you do when the forest burns? If we reach the point of no return, take my hand. It's all that we have left. Run away from everything with you. Will we be wild again? After all that we've been through, will we be wild again? Together, me and you. Will we be wild again? All I need is you. You break my heart. Who can you trust when your king is down and the city crumbles all around? Take my hand. It's all that we have left. Run away from everything with you.
Again by Lily Frost, who joins me tonight on Dangerfield. You can find her at lilyfrost.com. And so we were talking right before the break there, Lily, about playing live. And so you had an album release at the Paradise Theater, which is where the last time I saw you was at that theater.
Yeah.
Which is a beautiful theater in Toronto on Bloor Street. And that was October 6th of this year. And you had like a really cool setup, like what was the liquid lights behind you and all of that?
Yeah, that was Hopeful Monster. He's a good friend of mine, Jay Ball. He became like a mad scientist over COVID. Like he just honed his skills to this extent where he just wants to share it too. So he refined it color wise to match the kind of autumn tones that I was going for. I had three backup singers. And then the rhythm section from the Great Lakes Swimmers, Les Cooper was the MD and the guitar player. He also plays pedal steel and banjo. And who am I missing? Daffod Hughes was on keyboard. It was a pretty big show. A lot of people, by the end, we had like an acoustic exit where we walked through the crowd and everyone was singing along. It was like very feel good vibes.
and I read that you're maybe going to release that as a YouTube like video or movie or something. But
yeah, we're working on that edit. That should be ready in the new year, I think.
That's awesome. And then speaking of live, so coming up, you've got, so Lily Frost joins me tonight, and you've got a show coming up at on Saturday, December 17th, and it's at the Royal Conservatory of Music. And it sounds, it's a pretty cool event. It's called Songbird North, where the writers sing and tell. So it's yourself, the wonderful Gene Sibbery, and David Quinton Steinberg. And so it's a, it sounds like it's a place where you talk about the inspiration and your songwriting process. Will you be playing songs off your new album at that?
Yeah. So I think there's a piano, and I'll be doing, I think five songs each, and it's a songwriters in the round situation where we talk about the songs and play, whether it's, on the guitar or the piano or whatever. And I'm not sure if the others sort of chime in with harmonies or how it's going to work, but
and do you have the songs picked out that you're going to play, or are you going to kind of figure it out closer to the date?
Yeah, closer to the date. I have. I'm figuring it out as each day goes by.
And it's a bit of a return home for you in a sense. So I read that you started studying at the Royal Conservatory at age 7.
Oh yeah, that's true. I mean, I did. I wasn't actually there like physically, but I did Royal Conservatory piano training.
Oh. So did I. I remember those piano books with the giant number on them and the colors,
exactly.
Right?
Yes.
Exactly. I did those too. They were, and I remember we used to do exams there at the Royal Conservatory. And
yes, those just, were
that's
terrifying.
When I realized I was not cut out for performing. Yeah, because you're sitting inside a room listening to someone playing your songs perfectly.
Yes. I would remember shaking and sweating and the anxiety was just intense. Yeah.
Yes, I agree.
You have to be perfect, right?
It's
it's so different from the kind of music that we enjoy.
Right.
I mean, I love classical music as well, but playing it is so stressful.
And we hear on your album there's some beautiful, accompaniment as well. You've got Bryden Baird plays an instrument that I'd never heard of before. What's it called? Like a flugelhorn or something?
Oh, the flugelhorn. Yeah.
What is that?
Oh, it's like a short little horn with a bigger trumpet or bigger, what do you call it? Yeah.
Like almost like a French horn, kind of?
Kind of, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay. I'm sure he would describe it differently, but he's exactly. Fantastic. Yeah.
Awesome. Yeah, he's played with like Feist, I believe, and a bunch of folks, right?
Oh, yeah. And he comes from the Baird brothers. So Jay, his brother, plays bass, and Jesse plays drums, and the three of them played with Feist. So they played on my last record as well. They were amazing.
Cool.
Yeah.
Well, let's play another track. This is an awesome one. So when we started the show, we were talking a little bit about how you kind of had your more mellow songs and then you had your rocker songs. And so this was, I think this would veer into a bit more, let's say more rocker. Would you, Seagull?
Oh, yeah. It does get pretty rockin'. So this one, my brother wrote this one and I've wanted to record it forever and ever and finally got it together.
Oh, it's really great. So let's listen to Seagull. And this is Lily Frost off her new album, Decompression. And then we'll come back and we'll chat more.
Nothing's too far away. Nothing's too far away except the happiness. Unhappiness that makes you small and you fight forever, fight against a wall. I'm up in the sky,
I'm up in the sky,
up around the sky. I do not cry out in vain, out insane. People are everywhere and everything. Power why I'm a seagull.
got a suit and a case of losing taste, being around. This town is a bug. It will not die, but will never fly either. See my heart on a plane.
Seagull by Lily Frost, who joins me tonight on Dangerfield on Indie 101.5. And you can find her at Instagram at instagram.com/lilyfrostcom and at lilyfrost.com. And so this album, this is one of the singles that you put out before your album release. It's got a wonderful video as well that was done by Brittany Brooks, who's really kind of coming into her own with her animation as well. Mm-hmm. So yeah, that's a really, really beautiful song.
Thanks. I mean, I love the contrast of the chorus with the verses. And like I said, my brother wrote it when he was a teenager, and we grew up in the suburbs. So it's kind of about that feeling of never being able to get, like, frustration where you just can't get your feet off the ground, and if you're going to fly, you never can fly too bright or too high because you're just frustrated and stuck in this small towny kind of suburban vibe. So I love how it came out. Yeah.
And so is this the first song that you've kind of worked on with your brother, or do you have a history of making music together?
It's the first. Well, no, we've done some other ones, but never a song that made it onto one of my album releases. Mm-hmm. But we've done some single, one-offs. He's got like 45 tunes he's written. He's a great songwriter, and a really good guitar player too. So I think that he's just gone into more of a business world, and now he lives in California, so I have to move to California so that I can hang out with him more.
Yeah. Not a bad place to be.
Yeah.
Oh, man. I would love to talk about too as well. So you've got a wonderful bunch of radio shows. So you're on my other favorite station besides this one, which is called Zoomer Radio. So for those just joining, I'm talking to Lily Frost, and she hosts a couple of different shows. So one's called Zoomer Crooners and Songbirds, Sunday at 6 p.m. on Zoomer Radio. The other's called Live in the City, Saturdays at 2 p.m. And the other one is called Saturday Night Bandstand, which is Saturday nights at 7 p.m. And you've just actually added a really cool feature to that. Lily, I've read that it started, I think, on November 3rd. So you're a couple weeks in, but where you now are interviewing young people about their favorite songs from the 60s and 80s.
Yeah, that's for Live in the City. So that's the Saturday at 2 show. And I have kids from ages, so far it's been like age 9 till about 17. Okay. And they can come in, and if they love, if they love a couple of songs from the 60s to 80s, they can come in and talk about it. And yeah, it's cool to hear them. They're so smart, and they're so articulate. It's amazing.
And do you have a favorite song from the 60s?
My daughter was just asking me that. One of my favorite songs, and I don't know what year, it's probably more of the 70s, would be How Deep Is Your Love by the Bee Gees. Yes. I just love the harmonies so much.
That's awesome. I still haven't watched that doc, but I heard it's amazing.
Oh, is there a documentary about them? Oh my God.
It came out and I remember seeing it online and apparently it's amazing. So I'll dig that up.
Oh. I gotta check that out. Yeah. And anything, well, Rumors by Fleetwood Mac is just a perfect record.
Totally.
Yeah.
Now, so another song I'd like to play, I'm gonna play, it's called Changes in the Air, and it's on your latest album, Decompression. And this is Lily Frost, and then we'll come back and we'll chat a bit more.
Okay.
Changes in the air, changes in the air. Can you feel the change in the air? Changes in the air, changes in the air. Can you feel the change in the air?
Systems down, earth is shifting. Fever sparks, a chain reaction.
Changes in the air. Can you feel the change in the air? Changes in the air. Changes in the air. Can you feel the change in the air? So we march in a new direction, though the future is uncertain. Seeds will land. Changes in the air, changes in the air. Can you feel the change in the air? Changes in the air, changes in the air. Can you feel the change in the air? Change is gonna come, change is gonna come. 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 Change is gonna come, change is gonna come.
Change is gonna come.
Changes in the Air by Lily Frost, who joins me tonight on Dangerfield. So, Lily, this song was really interesting, it sounded like. So this was recorded during the pandemic or written during the pandemic over Zoom with a couple artists. Is that correct?
Yeah. So we used to have live potluck jams, and then we had to take it to Zoom. And the four of us, Danielle Bessels, Chris Bartosz, Rob Joy, and myself, continued. And we loved our meetings so much that instead of it being once a month, it started to become once a week.
Okay.
And we wrote so many songs over the pandemic, like at least 12 pretty solid ones. And that's not counting the ones, the other ones that aren't as solid.
Wow.
And one is for another artist, two got on my record. One I sent over to Oh Susanna and she quite liked it. We just had such a great dynamic because we all brought something totally different to the table. Like Rob's very into the 60s and the Beatles. He came up with the riff, like the chorus for the hook for the chorus of Changes in the Air. I came up with the verse melody and, chords and lyrics, but then the rest of us fleshed out the entire song together. And Danielle, she usually just sits there quietly and then starts talking like halfway through and blows everyone away.
Wow.
And then Chris will come in with like an obscure, like musical, like he's a musical genius.
Yeah.
So he'll come in with something that just nobody would have thought of. And it's just such a joy. So we're starting to get back together in person in December. I can't wait to see it. I don't know why it took it so long, but you know, summer, everyone's off doing things. So.
And do you foresee yourself doing some touring behind your new album? I know it's been a crazy time with COVID and, life and everything.
I mean, I would love to. Mm-hmm. I just don't know how I can afford it. So if I thought I'm going to pour everything I've got into that show at the Paradise, record it, share it. If some producers or promoters see it and say, I would like to present this, and offer enough money so that I can hire the proper people to do the job right, then I'll definitely consider it. But I can't invest in a tour right now.
Yeah, I've heard that it's just, it's insurmountable, it sounds like, with just the cost of everything, correct?
Yeah.
Like just like gas and just everything.
Well, and everyone's charging more now, like the musicians. And it's not like I'm... like when I was married to Jose, like we were a team. We didn't charge each other. We were just doing it for the love of music. Now I'm a solo artist and I have to hire everybody. And it's very, very expensive.
Yeah.
You know,
it is. It's a crazy time. And
kudos
to all of you incredible artists for keeping us uplifted through it. It's been, I think that's been just the shining light of that got everyone through.
Yeah.
Not live music, but one more question before. I'm just always curious about where do you have like a notebook that you write your lyrics in? Like, are you kind of like, do you have a structure for how you write, or are you someone who jots down, or can you talk a little bit about that?
Sure. Yeah. I have a handheld tape recorder that I use.
Cool.
And I also use notes on my phone.
Yeah.
And then also voice memo recording on my phone. A lot of stuff I do on the handheld is good because I can multi-track in a way. And I can also, get an idea on that and then shift it onto my voice memo. I can't find it right now, which is stressing me out. I don't know where I put it in the house, but I really love it so much. And it just has a different sound and feel to it. And so like what I mean by multi-tracking is I can play my tape recording back to me and then record a harmony on my phone simultaneously while the tape deck is going, right?
Yeah.
Which obviously I can do on Logic as well, but for some reason this is just more, it's better for on the fly because a lot of my ideas come while I'm in the car or while I'm like, not near my computer, which is glued to my house currently.
Yeah.
And I need a laptop. But anyway, but I definitely whenever an idea comes, which is often in dreams or like after a nap, I promise myself that I will record it no matter how tired I am, you know, because those are the little drops that are given to you by, like Tom Waits says, they come knocking at your door and your one and only major job is to record them because they're not coming back and you can't choose when they come. Yeah.
That's great. And how do you archive all of that? Like, do you move it over to a certain place or do you just kind of take the ones or keep the ones that stand out the most to you?
Yeah, I'm terrible at filing. So basically,
Lily, if you could see my desktop right now, you'd be horrified. Whenever I'm on like an IT call with my
That would make me feel better about myself. Oh my
God. It's like the creative mind is not linear by any means.
Exactly. Right? But like, I just remember stuff. Like, I'll go through my voice memos and I'll have written certain cues. Like if it's a really good one, I'll put 2 stars or it'll be in caps or say the best one. And then if I listen over time, especially, and it still stands out, then it's good. I don't need any other thing to tell me that it, you know, like any special filing technique. Yeah. Right. And then if they're so good, then they make it onto a record. And that's how I remember them.
That's great. Well, listen, Lily, we're coming up on time. And I want to close this out with your wonderful song, Windswept, which is just a beautiful song off your new album. And so for those that have joined us tonight, it was a wonderful chat with Lily Frost. I encourage you to check out her album, Decompression. It's out on all streaming platforms. You can find her at lilyfrost.com. And so thank you so much for your time tonight, Lily. And I hope to see you soon in person. And
Thanks, Mary. And if I just could take 2 seconds here just to let the listeners know that Windswept is an homage to my cousin Chris Starr, who passed away due to a fentanyl overdose. So this song is to his memory, and it lives in Georgian Bay in the trees and the western wind.
Oh, that just gave me chills. Well, thank you for sharing that, Lily. Yeah. That's beautiful. And it's just such a beautiful song. It's funny, when I wrote it down in my notes here, I put it in italics because it inspires that. So I just have a wonderful night. And
thank you, Mary.
Okay, you take care, okay?
Okay, take care. Bye-bye. Bye-bye.
I can feel you in the northern skies, flying higher. I feel you. Windswept trees and west wind blows, takes a life and on it goes. Different.
home for alternative. Only on Indie 101.5 CIOI.
Everyone, everything. She just watches from my-